How can we not love people if we love God? Amen? And so then we're talking today about worship. What does worship mean? What's the deal with worship? Is it just all about music? Is it about rhythm? Is it about words? Is it about singing? Is that it? And the answer to all of that is no. Worship, music has some part to do with worship, but not everything. Amen? I think sometimes, especially as churches, we tend to make worship solely about 30 to 40 minutes on a Sunday morning. But worship is far more than that. It goes way deeper than that. I want to tell you guys about a dream that I had this week and about what God revealed to me while we were worshiping. I don't have too many spiritual dreams, and I believe this is definitely one of them. My dream, I was going through these caves and caverns all night long, searching frantically for something. And I was going and going and going and going and deeper and deeper and deeper. And the deeper I went, the more determined I was to find whatever it was that I was looking for. And finally, I found what it was that I was looking for. It was this person. And I grabbed his face. And I said, "Are you the one that speaks in tongues? Are you the one that is running after the Spirit? Are you the one that seeks after God's face? Are you the one that I'm looking for?" And I began to weep uncontrollably in my dream, and it began to manifest in reality. I woke myself up sobbing. How many of you guys ever woke yourself up sobbing before? You don't have to raise your hand. But that's unusual for me, okay? I don't do that. I snore mostly. But I woke up and I was like, "Whoa, what is that?" I wiped the tears away from my eyes and I was like, "Lord, what did that mean?" And as we were worshiping, I felt the Lord speak to me about those caves represent the deepest part of me. The deepest part of my spirit and my soul longs for the presence of God. My soul longs to seek His face deeper and deeper and deeper into His presence. And I believe that I came looking at myself face to face, asking myself, "Are you the one that seeks His face? Are you the one that hungers and thirsts for His righteousness?" Because it's in those moments that we've got to ask ourselves what we believe. What are we searching for? What are we running to? Because whatever it is that your soul thirsts for, it's going to find. That's just the nature of our spirit. Amen? And so that's why it's important that we hunger and thirst for righteousness, because the Bible says we will be filled. Amen? We will be filled. And so I want to speak to you guys, if you would turn with me to Psalms 96. We're going to read 1 through 7. Psalms 96, 1 through 7. If you got your Bible, it should be up on the board. Well, let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you so much that you speak to us in so many ways. Father, you speak to us in this thing called unknown tongues. And you speak to us through the interpretation of those tongues. You speak to us through dreams. You speak through us through other people. You speak through to us through pastors and teachers. You speak to us in all sorts of ways. God, you're so creative. And Lord, I thank you that you speak through us and to us through worship. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand what it means to worship. Because, Father, worship is all about you. And Father, I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your Spirit being upon me to teach your word. And Father, I pray that your anointing and your Spirit will be upon each and every person to receive your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 96, starting with verse 1, says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the people. For great is the Lord and most worthy to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Arise to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Now, today there was I was reading, studying this, getting this stuff ready, and I came across. I try to come across interesting stories and to help kind of bring windows to the gospel, to help kind of bring understanding to it. What good is speaking lofty scriptures and meanings if we don't have windows to the gospel to help us understand? So I was reading about this story about these two boys that were they lived in Indiana, and they were walking down the road, and this vicious dog jumped out of an alley and started attacking one of the boys. The other boy grabbed a 2x4 close by and killed the dog. He defended his friend. And a reporter found out about this, and he wrote an article. And the article was titled, "Colts Fan Saves Friend from Vicious Dog." And the boy saw this, and he called the reporter, and he said, "I'm not a Colts fan." And he goes, "Oh," I said, "I'm really sorry. I'll retract that in tomorrow's paper." So he retracted it. And the next day, the headline read, "Pacers fan saves friend's life from a vicious dog attack." Guy looked at this, and he was like, "I'm not a Pacers fan." So he called the guy, the reporter, back, and he said, "I'm not a Pacers fan either." And the reporter said, "Well, are you a sports fan at all?" He said, "Yes, I'm a Tennessee Titans fan." The next day, the storyline read, "Redneck idiot kills faithful family pet." Well, that's his viewpoint. Everybody has a different perspective on the same subject, right? And sometimes if you throw a little humor in there, it helps us to apply the message and the truths of God's word. And so if you ask a Pentecostal about worship, an Anglican or a Catholic, a Methodist, a Baptist, a young man, an old man, you will all get different viewpoints. I think we all need to rediscover, though, the worship, the worship dynamics in a service, not only in a service, but in our life as well. We all have different views of what worship is. Some of us, our church, we worship with our hands. We worship with our mouths. Some of us jump up and down every once in a while. Some of us come to the altar and kneel. Some of us raise our hands, clap our hands. Worship is boisterous. It's emotional, right? Other churches, they're very quiet in their worship. That doesn't mean that they're worshiping any less or more heartfelt than those that have their hands raised or their hands clapping. It just means that they're worshiping more reverent in how they feel comfortable in worshiping. We should never judge one another according to our outer appearance during worship services. Because some people may come in and they have done everything they possibly can do just to get through those doors. And they collapse emotionally in these chairs because they know that they got to get to the house of God. And because they're collapsing emotionally, they're worshiping on the inside and saying, "God, fill me up because I am dead on the outside." And so because of that, because we don't know the heart of our neighbor beside us, we are to worship how we see fit and allow our neighbor to worship how they see fit. Amen? It's all about perspective, but we've got to be biblical in our worship as well, because worship goes much deeper than rhythm and rhyme. Now, did you know you can't find deadness in worship anywhere? The truth is, we need a transforming experience from the Lord, and the only place that can be found is through worship. The kind of visitation that will help heal our broken homes and heal our churches and strip away religious veneer and get back to His heart. Because worship is all about one thing. It's not about the songs we sing. It's not about our hands being raised. It's not about our kneeling or our exuberance or our tears or our passion. But it's all about Him. That's it. We don't worship for our benefit. We worship to glorify Him. Because in Him, He makes all things new. He can do not, if He did anything else, nothing else, in all of creation and throughout all time, He is still worthy to be praised. Not because of what He's doing or what He's done, but simply because of who He is. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is, we cannot add to God. We cannot bring any more value to God than what He already is. He is self-sustaining. He is all-sufficient. He is all-wise. We does not need our praise. But because of who He is, our spirit reacts to Him. Amen? Worship goes beyond our singing and goes to the very core and through the very depths of who we are. It's us responding to God. It's us responding to who He is, what He's done in our life. Amen? A.W. Tozer said this, "Worship is the missing jewel of the church. We need a biblical understanding of worship." Someone once said, "We have become a generation of people who worship our work, work at our play, and play at our worship." I'm afraid that many come to church because it's Sunday rather than come on Sunday to worship. We need to have an attitude. See, here's the thing. Sometimes, and I'm guilty of it too, so don't think that I have perfected this thing when I say this. But sometimes, and a lot of times, we get into the place where we allow our circumstance to dictate our praise, how much we're going to praise God, based on what He hasn't or has done for us, amen? And when we get to church, we think, okay, well, God, You didn't do this, so man, I'm just not going to worship today. But it's in those times where we feel confused, when we're angry, when we're upset, that we should praise God more frantically, that we should seek Him more desperately, because it's in those times, really, where the rubber meets the road. Last night I was watching my beloved Volunteers get beat half to death by Oklahoma. And Pastor Johnny was there watching the demise. And it was in the second half that I told him, when they were down by 20, this is what I want to see. I want to see how Tennessee responds when they're down. I want to see how they respond when the crowd is against them. What kind of decision-making are they going to have? What kind of play calling are they going to have? How are the players going to respond to that kind of pressure? Because, man, they were all over them. And it's at that time as well in a believer's life that whenever you are at the bottom of the barrel in your life, when you're confused, when you're down by 30, and it's in the fourth quarter, and you know that you're going to win in the end, even though it may not turn out the way you want it to. God is still good. He gets the glory. Nothing's changed about Him. And how are you going to react? How are you going to respond? I'm afraid that most of us respond in anger, resentment. We wonder where God is at. Now, I'm not saying that you're wrong for asking those questions, because I have done the very same thing. I have questioned myself and said, God, where are You in this situation? Where are You in this darkest time of my life? Where are You? But the key thing is that we don't get caught up in where are You. At the end of the day, when everything is stacked against us, will you worship? Will you praise God anyway? Despite how you feel, despite what you're going through, will you praise God anyway? Will you worship him? Will you thank him? There's a radio DJ back in Mississippi. They have, it's called Family, I can't remember what the name of the radio station is. They're all over the country. American Family Radio, that's it. And one of the radio DJs was driving his son. He was 10 years old at the time. His name was Cooper. And he was driving him on their ranch, and he was in a little dune buggy, just a little two-seater. And they were out there having a good time, and they were doing donuts and not doing anything extravagant, just going around their property. And there was one little place where they always did donuts because it was level, it was safe. And Cooper said, "Hit it, Dad, hit it." And so that means let's do donuts. And so his dad gunned it and just turned it, and they started doing donuts. Well, they hit a rock, and it flipped. And the weight of that dune buggy landed on his 10-year-old and killed him instantly. Instantly. Outdoing a harmless thing, in the midst of it, his son was killed. And he tells a story about going to the hospital, and one of his friends came up to him, and Cooper's dad looked at his friend and said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord." Can you imagine where that came from in the depths of that man? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, we talk about having bad days and still worshiping God, but that is the darkest of days. That is when the rubber meets the road. Is God still good? Is he still worthy of praise? Because I'm going to tell you, church, he is. Because it's that praise that comes from the depth of your soul that's going to bring you up out of where you are. It's going to cause you to turn your mess into a message. Amen? Your test to a testimony. That's where it begins for believers. Our worship is powerful. Amen? So let's look at what worship is not. All right? Worship is not an event. Okay? We call the AM service a worship service, but calling that doesn't make it so, does it? You can attend worship service without worshiping. Jesus said of these Jews in his day, in Matthew 15:8, he says this, "These people draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Their heart is far from me. Worship is not music as well. A church may have a worship leader and a worship team, and we have a fine worship leader and team. Amen. They bless us every Sunday. We may sing songs, but having music doesn't guarantee our worship. Music is a vehicle to take us to the place of worship. That's it. That's it. I always make fun of churches that have, like, you know, these $30,000 lights and all the fog that come in as well. And I'm not saying it's bad, it's wrong. I'm just, like when we were at the men's conference, I think it was you, because it was smoky in there and everything. And I told Dean, I said, "You know, I think what we need for this church to really, really usher in the Holy Spirit is a fog machine." We need a fog machine. Need it. But I'm not saying it's bad or wrong. I'm not saying that. It was just a lighthearted moment. But here's my point. We think if the setting isn't just right, we think if the music isn't played just right, we can't worship God. Now, Can it hinder us? Sure. Singing off key, that's rough, all right? I don't know how anybody can get into, you know, worshiping God off key the entire time, okay? I guess you just have to plug your ears and go, you know, start singing to yourself. But we feel that if the setting is not right, if the lighting isn't just perfect, if the mood isn't set, we can't worship. We can't give God praise the way we want to. When the truth is, if we're just worshiping on Sunday, something's wrong within us on Monday through Saturday, correct? Because God is worthy of our praise every single day. He is worthy of our praise. Standing, watching my dad suffer and go through the bitterness of dying slowly was very painful. But my dad decided to worship through his pain. Taught me a lot in those 3 months that he suffered. Taught me a lot through his suffering. We need to understand that the mood is never going to be set correctly in life. We have a decision to make to worship him or not, period. Amen? Worship is not a feeling either. Some people think that unless they get a bunch of tears flowing down their face, shivers up their spine, that then God didn't move powerfully like he's supposed to. And it's based on feeling alone. I see these people that they go to this conference or this conference or this prophetic conference or this worship conference or this word church or that word church looking for an awesome worship experience. You don't even have to leave your living room to get an awesome experience with God. Just open up your mouth. Open up your spirit to the living God, and he will fill you. Amen? We don't have to go to a lavish worship service to enter into the Spirit of God. We can do it right as we wake up in the morning and praise his name. Amen? We can give him glory and honor and praise. Don't wait until it feels good to worship. Just worship the way you are. Worship broken if you have to. Worship mad if you have to. Worship confused if you have to. But worship the living God, amen? Worship his holy name. So, worship is not feelings. It's not music. It's not all of those things. So let's look at what worship is. Worship is simply this, our response to God. I wish it was more complicated, I really do. But it's not. It's our response to God. When we worship God, we are responding to him. Worship is heartfelt. John 4:23 says this, "But the hour is coming, and now is, where the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." See, genuine worship is not, it's not emotion, but it is emotional, right? But see, we get it backwards. We think if we don't have that emotion, then it's not spiritual. And we're not spiritual if we're not emotional. We get it so confused. When we respond to a holy God, and out of that worship, he responds to us, sometimes we do begin to weep. Sometimes we do raise our hands. Sometimes we kneel in holy reverence, like Chris did when he came up earlier. We raise our hands. We sing joyously. We clap our hands. We shout aloud with a voice of triumph. Why? Because God is responding to our worship. God is responding to our worship. God's grace always touches our emotion. Remember when you first got saved? You didn't realize that you were a sinner just by me preaching. The Bible says that it's the Spirit of God that draws you. So it's the Lord himself that draws you. And when he draws you, he reveals sin in your life. And that's emotional. Things that didn't bother you before now convict you. Not because of what I have said, but what he has revealed to you in your life. You knew that you've been sinning all this time. But it's the Spirit of God that brings that conviction, not condemnation, but conviction upon your life that leads to repentance. And when you repent and you feel the love and the forgiveness of the Father, you have no choice but to get emotional about it. I was talking yesterday during the class, a membership class, and I was talking about my experience whenever I got saved. And I responded, and I ran down to the altar, and I stood with my hands lifted high, and I was weeping uncontrollably, and I didn't care who saw me. I was 18 years old. Because my spirit was responding to a holy God that had revealed sin in my life. And because of it, my body responded emotionally. No one comes to Christ as a machine, heartless, emotionless. You ever done something wrong and you know your dad was coming home and you felt that knot in your stomach and you knew that you were going to get a spanking or grounded or whatever it was, the fear of God came on you. and you're in your room and you know it's coming, you hear the door open and you hear your mother talking about what little Johnny had done and what you did and, sorry Johnny, And you know you wish you could just like jump out the window to save yourself a whole bunch of pain. And your dad walks in and instead of a grimace and anger, he sits beside you and he offers grace. That's what Jesus does. He sits beside you and says, listen, what you did was wrong. What you deserve is discipline, but what I'm giving you is forgiveness. And because of that, you don't go, whatever. I knew you were going to do that anyway. No, what we do, how we respond is by gratitude. It's by melting on our Father and saying, thank you that I'm not getting my butt whipped. Thank you that I'm not getting what I deserve. Thank you. We respond with gratitude. We respond emotionally because our dad showed mercy to us and he has shown mercy to us. Amen? So I'm not worshiping him because of what he will do for me. We're not doing that. But because of what he is to me. You get that? It's not about what he can do for me, but it's about who he is. Who he is the reason why we worship. Amen? It's the reason why we worship. We worship because of who we are. Have you ever thought about that? We worship because of who we are. He is the master. We are the servants. He is the vine. We are the branches. He is the owner. We are the possessions. There isn't a hair on our head that doesn't go unnoticed by him. Therefore, our response to him is worship. It's worship. We worship because of who we are. We recognize who we are in the sight of who he is, right? And so when our position is revealed of who we are according to who he is, our response is worship. Our response is gratitude. So how are we to worship? Although we call worship, or we can worship anytime, at any place, there's a special dynamic about being in God's presence in a corporate setting like this. Coming together and worshiping together. Hebrews 10:25 says this. It commands us, actually, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, we are to do this. To worship together, to come together, to vocalize our praise of what God has done, who he is. No wonder there's all kinds of different praise in God's house. Amen? Not everybody responds the same way. Some clap, some rejoice, some weep, some wail, some kneel, some sing and shout to God. Everybody sees God differently in the sight of who they are. And we worship also, we worship verbally. Hebrews 13, 15 says this. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. We are to worship physically. In verse 6 of Psalms, Psalms 95, it says this. We are to bow down. We are to kneel before the Lord. Psalms 47, verse 1 says, Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Psalm 63, 4 says, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Psalms 134, 2 says, Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Psalms is very specific about how we're to worship, right? We are to clap our hands. We are to lift up our voices. We are to kneel and to bow. We are to do all of these things to glorify his name. So worship is more than just a few songs on Sunday, church. It is a lifestyle. It is how we live our lives on a daily basis. Because every single one of you guys in this section, in the middle section, in the section over here, we all come to the place every single day. Are we going to give God praise? Are we going to give him glory for what he's done in our life? Are we going to give him glory because of who he is? Stop giving him praise based on what he's done and just give him praise for who he is. Amen? That just will alleviate the decision-making altogether. Worship him because he is worthy to be praised. Amen? Good day, bad day, lethargic, it doesn't matter how we feel. God is worthy of our praise. That's why it's recorded in the Bible as people were giving their money into the temple. Everybody was giving out of their abundance. But Jesus saw this one poor widow lady that gave a single penny into the offering. And he said, this woman has given more than anybody else because she has given all that she has. All that she has. You see, that's the dangers of giving to God out of our abundance, because abundance won't always be there. We've got to give God out of the emptiness of our spirit every single thing that we have, because he is worthy of it. Amen? He is worthy of it. Lastly, we are to worship obediently. Some people put on a show of worship on Sunday, but then don't obey him all week long. Someone once said, the best public worship is birthed in private worship. Birthed in private worship. Guys, I encourage you, before you go to work, before you deal with the kids, before you lay your head down as you're driving to work, wherever you are, make a place of worship. Make it a lifestyle of worship. I was driving down the road. God's doing some stuff in my life, okay? I was driving down the road Friday, and I was picking up paint at Sherwin-Williams to do a little painting job. Well, it's a big job. And I was driving, and I was listening to a song from Mercy Me about heaven, about how we will respond when we see Jesus face to face. And man, I began to weep in my truck. I was like, what are you doing, God? I'm trying to pick up some paint. I'm trying to just go about my day, God. And I got it all, you know, Joshua's in the back, and I'm taking him to school, and I'm trying to hold it together, and it's one of those ugly cries that's about to come out, you know, where you go, and I was trying to hold it together in the truck, and so let Joshua out, and I thought it was done. I repressed it, you know, I was good, and I was pulling into Sherwin-Williams, and I was about to turn in the corner, and I saw all these guys there, and it hit me again, and I just started crying. So I had to drive past and park over in the parking lot. And just cry it out. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, man. You know, And, you know, I'm trying to paint today, God, and I quit, you know. But when we say and when we ask God, Lord, fill me up, there's an emotional response when God meets our emotions, amen? There's an emotional response when we say, God, fill me up. I want more of you. I want the depths of my spirit to have an encounter with you. I want my life changed. I don't want my circumstance changed. I want my life to change. Change the way I view worshiping you, Father. Don't just change me, but change the way I see you and worship God. And when you do that, he'll fill you in ways that are weird sometimes. But he will fill you up fantastically. He will overflow in your life in ways that you never imagined were possible if you allow that worship to be birthed in your life. The Bible says again, read Psalms 95, verse 1. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and exalt him with music and song. Today, if you hear his voice, I encourage you not to harden your heart, but allow him to move through you. And yeah, you're going to respond emotionally. Yeah, but don't go seeking the emotion. Seek the Father, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. Today, the whole point in teaching this message is to show you that and to teach you what worship really is. Because see, here at this church at New Freedom, worship is a high priority. It's something that is essential to our following Christ. Teaching you how to worship or what worship is not is essential. Because we need to worship him in spirit and in truth, not out of emotion only. Not seeking emotional responses, but seeking him simply because of who he is. Amen? Let's all bow our heads and we're going to pray this morning. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of responding to who you are. Father, you could demand it. You could require that we do it. You could put that yoke upon us, but you gave us the choice to do it. And so, Lord, because you've given us that privilege, I choose to worship you. I choose to worship you and at my work. I choose to worship you in my marriage. I choose to worship you wherever I go. May you be glorified. May you be honored by the way I live my life. May my life song sing praise to you, Lord. May the way I live be sweet fragrance of worship to your nostrils, Lord. May it please you, Father. God, I love you so much. And I thank you, Father, for the power and the authority that worship has. And Lord, I pray that you would use this teaching today to help us to understand the power of worship, because it's not about us. It's all about you, Father. It's us responding to you. And so, Lord, today, we give you our praise. Before we leave, can we worship the Lord just corporately? However you feel like worshiping God this morning. If you want to vocalize it, you vocalize it. If you want to raise your hands, you raise your hands. But let's worship freely this morning, all together. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, and we worship you because of who you are, not what you have done, not what you're going to do, not because of blessing, not because of the good day that we had yesterday, but we worship you because of who you are. And Lord, you deserve all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, Lord. I give you praise, Lord, not just with my life, not just with my mouth, but with my life, how I live it. May my life song bring glory and honor to you, Father. And Lord, we can say like that radio DJ said, in the darkest of days, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we hear as your local body at New Freedom Church, we worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. We worship you in spirit and in truth, Father. May you be glorified. May you be glorified. May you be honored in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. We honor you, Lord. Hallelujah. My soul cries out to the living God. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Reminded in Revelation as John sees a peek into heaven and he sees the angels circling around the throne. All the elders, and they're casting down their crowns at the feet of the Son of God. 24/7, they're crying out, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Father, I lay my pride at the door. I lay my agenda at the door, Father. Lord, I come before you. If need be, I come before you broken. I come before you in humility, Father, lifting up your name. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. We love you so much. Hallelujah. Church, worship is a freeing act. It frees us. It sets us free. Paul and Silas, when they were beat within an inch of their life, when they were thrown into prison, they had a choice to make. They had a choice to either condemn God and blame him for their plight in life, that God sent them to the jail. Where was God in the midst of this? But the Bible recounts that Paul and Silas was singing in the middle of the night praise to God. And the Bible says that in that moment, that the doors of the prison flew open, that the shackles on their feet and hands came free. Why? Because they worshiped. Because they worshiped. There's power in worship. It's freeing. It's liberating. And it brings life to all those that do it. Amen? I want to encourage you that if you haven't let loose in worship, let loose in your car, man. Let loose. Let loose in your bed. Let loose in your living room. Let loose wherever you are, because he will meet you there.